Totally Biased Buffaloes, 2010 season, episode 1. Welcome to the Totally Biased Buffaloes podcast, the unofficial podcast of the University of Colorado football, where you can start your week with a completely biased view from great fans and alumni of the University of Colorado. This is episode 1 for the 2010 season on Monday, August 16th, 2010. I'm your host, RJ. If you'd like to contact us, please leave us a voicemail at 720-515-2008. Or you can send us an email at totallybiasedbuffaloes@gmail.com. You can also check us out on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/totallybiasedbuffaloes. Stay tuned to the end of the show for information on our 2010 Totally Biased Buffaloes Podcast Listener Contest. Now let's take a look at the news of the Buffs in our Buffaloes beat. We begin our news on a sad note. CU ski team member Spencer Nelson was killed over the weekend on a hiking trip in Aspen on the Maroon Bells. Apparently a rock dislodged and hit him in the head, which caused a fall. Spencer was hiking with six other members of his party, including his father. Spencer was a high school graduate from Granby, Colorado, and he was 20 years old. The condolences of all the Buffs go out to Spencer's family. On other news, a lot of things have happened during the summer. Of course, the biggest news item is the conference change from the Big 12 to the Pac-12. But we'll get into that a little more later. There have been some major player moves in the Buffs lineup. The first move was a departure. After failing to appear on a drunk driving charge, Marcus Semus had a warrant issued for his arrest, and Coach Hawkins suspended him from the team. He decided to leave this summer. It's a good thing we've had some other wide receiver transfers, as Semus was looking to be a top person on the team. Three big transfers into CU. Two wide receivers. One of them, Paul Richardson, joined the Buffs from UCLA. He as well had some legal problems in Los Angeles and was released from his letter of intent by UCLA. He chose Boulder as his second chance school. Coach Hawkins said he was happy to accept him on the team, but this was his last chance. Thanks to the upheaval at USC, the Buffs have picked up a wide receiver, Trevon Patterson. Patterson is allowed to transfer this season and play in his senior year because of the sanctions against USC that include a bowl ban. Patterson was a top recruit out of high school and is expected to be quite a force on the wide receiver corps if he can pick up the CU offense quickly. Fans are wondering if he could be the spark that CU needs. In more interesting news, the Metro Denver Sports Commission has announced that Cinch Jeans is going to be the title sponsor for the Rocky Mountain Showdown for the next 3 years. Cinch Jeans is a line of the Rocky Mountain Clothing Company. Their motto is, "Made for the man who lives his life in denim." So get ready. Here comes the name that just rolls off the tongue. The Cinch Jeans Rocky Mountain Showdown. And that's the news from the Buffalo Beat. We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor for this podcast, Office Pride Commercial Cleaning Services of South Metro Denver. Office Pride understands that in your business, first impressions count. And so do second, third, and each impression thereafter. Office Pride works with each of their clients to turn their facility into a shining business. Whether you have a regular office building, warehouse, church, daycare, or retail location, Office Pride staff would be happy to provide you with a free, no-obligation quote for your cleaning needs. Contact Office Pride at 303-719-3320. That's 303-719-3320. Office Pride is your no-headaches-attached solution to your commercial cleaning needs. I would like to take this chance to introduce a great CU alum that will be a regular contributor to the Totally Biased Buffaloes podcast. Stewart is the author of CU at the Game blog, the unofficial blog for CU football. You can find him at cuatthegame.com. That's the letter C-U at thegame.com. Stewart will be joining us throughout the season to discuss the goings-on about football. He will also have a segment each week that talk about the rumors going on around the program and keeping us up to date with recruiting and official visits from potential future Buffs. We are calling this segment the Buffalo Herd. Get it? Herd. So, Stewart, what have you heard recently?
Thanks, RJ. Welcome to the Buffalo Herd, where we will discuss recruiting news for the Colorado Buffaloes all the way up to signing day next February. As we start fall practice 2010, there are only four names on the Colorado 2011 recruiting commitment list. That number is small, especially compared with most schools in the Big 12. To date, Texas has 22 commitments, 15 of which, by the way, are either four- or five-star commitments. Oklahoma and Texas Tech each have 18. Nebraska stands at 13. In fact, in the Big 12, only Colorado and Iowa State, with five commitments, have fewer than 10 recruits lined up for the 2011 class. In the Pac-10, where the Buffs will be playing next year, the situation is not much different. Stanford leads the conference with 20 commitments for 2011, followed by Washington with 14. Only three schools currently have fewer than 10 commitments on their sheet, with Cal and UCLA sitting on 7, with Arizona State, the only school in either conference with fewer commitments in Colorado, sitting on 3 verbals for the 2011 class. Colorado head coach Dan Hawkins has operated since his arrival in Boulder on the principle and philosophy that he wants to allow high school seniors to take their time and weigh all their options. A student who can play out his final year, take visits to different schools, and then take the time to sit down with his family and weigh all of his options, well, that's the student will make the right choice, according to Dan Hawkins. As a result of this philosophy, Colorado routinely lags behind when it comes to commitments in the spring and the summer. For example, by mid-August 2009, Colorado had only two commitments for the 2010 class, quarterback Nick Hirschman and tight end Kyle Slavin. In mid-August 2008, the number was also two, and in mid-2007, the number of Colorado verbal commitments stood at four. Does this philosophy pay off for Dan Hawkins? The numbers would suggest no. Colorado has consistently been ranked in the bottom half of the national recruiting rankings, both nationally and in the Big 12 Conference. Still, Dan Hawkins and his staff press on, and we'll be taking a look throughout the season at the recruits Colorado has obtained verbal commitments from, look at what players are coming in each weekend for official visits, and what prospects for Colorado remain on the board. Next January, after the bowl games, we'll turn our attention exclusively to the class of 2011, culminating on signing day, Wednesday, February 3rd, 2011, when we'll have complete biographies for you of all of your newest Buffs. To date, as mentioned, Colorado has only four commitments for the boards. Two are from quarterbacks, Brock Berglund from Highlands Ranch, Colorado, and Nick Sherry from Petaluma, California. The other high school senior ready to sign on with the Buffs is linebacker Brandy Day from Mullen High School in Denver. All three of these players, these are all high school seniors, they're considered at this point to be three-star prospects. In our next edition, we'll take an in-depth look at these particular three players. Today, though, I'd like to talk about the fourth known commitment for the class of 2011. The name may sound familiar to a number of Buff fans, Sean Simon. Simon is 6 feet 2 inches tall, weighs 315 pounds, is an offensive lineman. Simon was actually one of the last commitments of the class of 2009 for Colorado. In February 2009, Simon was fresh off his senior season at Tulsa Union High, helping his team win the 6A state championship. He was an academic risk and therefore wasn't ranked very highly. But Simon and his Colorado coaches thought they could get him to qualify to play at Colorado. The news came in August, however, that the NCAA was not going to allow Simon to enroll in Boulder. The problem: in his freshman and sophomore years, Simon had not fared well in the classroom. In order to bolster his GPA, Simon retook several core classes online. Simon did well the second time around, but the NCAA disallowed some of Simon's online courses, forcing the offensive lineman to enroll in junior college. He ended up at Hutchinson Community College in Kansas. Simon did not play football last fall, focusing on his academics. He took 18 credits in the fall, another 18 credits this past spring, and even took an intersession class in May before taking on another full load this summer. Simon is now on pace to take a normal course load this fall, suit up for the Hutchinson Community College football team, and enroll in the four-year college of his choice come January. On February 7th of this year, right after the 2010 recruiting class was announced, Simon recommitted to the University of Colorado. Quote, "The coaches are telling me I'm the best lineman here," end quote, said Simon, who did practice with the team last fall. Quote, "I am trying to make that junior college All-American team. My coaches here think I can do it," end quote. At least one junior college publication agrees with Simon, ranking him as the nation's top center entering the 2010 season. This all sounds great for Colorado fans. Simon is large, 315 pounds, and will have 3 years to play two at Colorado. That is, if he comes to Colorado. A story came out this summer reporting that Simon had reopened his recruitment and that a number of schools, including Kansas, Oklahoma State, and Tennessee, were coming calling. In late July, though, Simon said he was still looking to be a part of the Colorado class of 2011. Quote, "I'm still full with it. I am still solidly committed to Colorado," said Simon. "Even if a coaching change were to happen, CU would still be number one on my list," end quote. Still, Simon did qualify his statement. Quote, "I need to keep an open ear and have a backup plan just in case something happens to the coaches there," end quote. While that may sound a bit disconcerting to the Buff fans, it is the right stance for Simon to take. Yes, the Colorado coaches wanted him in 2009, and yes, the Colorado coaches want him for the class of 2011. But if there is a regime change and new coaching staff is looking for different players, or is simply looking to fill the roster with something other than junior college players, it would be prudent for Simon to keep his options open. This is a problem that you'll be probably hearing about a lot this fall. Dan Hawkins may be sitting on the hottest seat in college football. Anything less than a winning season will probably result in a new coaching staff. With new coaches comes new offensive and defensive philosophies and different position needs. Simon may be a Buff. Simon wants to be a Buff. And right now, he's one of the four members of the University of Colorado recruiting class of 2011. Next time, we'll talk about the other three commitments, Brock Berglund, Nick Sherry, and Brandy Day, as well as any recruiting news which might come up in the meantime. For now, this is Stuart Whitehair from CUatTheGame.com. Thanks.
Thank you, Stuart. That was some really interesting information. I had never thought before about how our early recruiting can affect our overall recruiting class. Maybe I, and many of the Buff staff, should think about that. Now, let's go on the field and start with some news from fall camp. Fall camp actually started this summer for members of the CU football team, as well as other CU athletes. Over the summer, CU Athletics started a weekly yoga class. Many athletes from many different sports participated. Tyler Hansen, quarterback for the football team, said, quote, "It helps me combat soreness, makes me feel loose," end quote. Well, if that helps them come together after a 3-9 season, I'm up for trying anything. This year, the football team started with gold helmets. Coach took the buffaloes off the side of the helmet, saying that each member of the team has got to earn their buffalo. Emphasis this year is being put on penalties. Last year, the Buffs were flagged 107 times for 907 yards in penalties. The offensive coaching staff is walking on the field with yellow flags. If a student gets flagged for an infraction, they get to spend a little bit of extra time with strength and conditioning coach Pittman. The big news, of course, is the quarterback race. Will it be Hansen or Hawkins? The recent quote from Dan Hawkins said, quote, "We'll just have to see it when it emerges. There's no big rush now. We might just rotate quarterbacks," end quote. Wide receiver Scotty McKnight did let it out that Hansen is practicing with the first team. Although in the first scrimmage of the season, there were two major errors, a fumble that was returned by the defense for a touchdown, and an interception that was returned by the defense for a touchdown. Both caused by Tyler Hansen. So maybe coach is right to hold off in making a decision about who's going to be starting quarterback next year. In the running backs, Rodney Stewart is back again as the leading running back. This year he hopes to get to a 1,000-yard season. He said he believes he can do it by eliminating many of the mistakes that he made last year. Although right now Rodney Stewart is playing in a blue jersey, which means he is to have no contact. Apparently last weekend he was in what they are calling a minor car accident. There are a solid core of backups behind him, including Brian Lockridge and Quinton Hildreth. Along with that are four freshmen, many of whom are showing great promise, and probably one or two of them will play their freshman season. The wide receiver core is looking a lot stronger. Of course, we have Patterson and Richardson transferring in, which we talked about earlier. But of course, the one that everybody's paying attention to is wide receiver Scotty McKnight. He's a senior this year, and he's looking to do some great things. He also was put on the watch list for the Biletnikoff Award, which is given to the best wide receiver in college football. Many are looking now at CU as a team with legitimate deep threats, which will certainly open up the field for whoever quarterbacking this year. In the kicking game, which is where CU really struggled last year, Eric Goodman is a senior, but certainly does not have a hold on the position. There are three other players that are looking to step in and take that over. To help them, Coach Hawkins took the goalposts on the practice field and made them 9 feet thinner. Normally a goalpost is 18 feet 6 inches. But when you're shooting at something that's only 9 feet in practice, the theory is that it will be easier to hit something that's 18 feet in a real game. During the first scrimmage, the kicking game looked much better, with the kickers overall going 4 for 5 and not putting it off the goalposts, as Eric did so many times last year. The offensive line is an area that CU also struggled with last year, but is looking much better. Last year, they allowed 44 sacks, and they could only average 2.8 yards per carry for the running backs. This year could definitely be a rebound. Keenan Stevens is up on the watch list for the Lombardi Trophy, which goes to the lineman or linebacker that is the best in the country. Ryan Miller is up for the Outland Trophy, which is for the best interior lineman. And Nate Solder is not only up for the Lombardi and the Outland Trophy, but he was just named to Playboy's 54th All-American squad. Quite an honor, I think. And that's a quick look at fall camp for us. Next week, we'll be taking a look at the defensive side of the ball and other news from fall camp. Now that we're getting a taste of CU football, let's take a look at their 2010 schedule. We open up, of course, with the Cinch Jeans Rocky Mountain Showdown against CSU at Mile High on September 4th. The game is set for a noon start. On September 11th, we take our first trip into Pac-10 country with a trip to Cal. Game time now scheduled at 1:30. On September 18th, we have Alfred Williams Day as the Warriors from Hawaii come to Boulder. With a bye on the 25th of September, it gives us a little extra time to prepare for Georgia. CU will be celebrating the 20th anniversary of their national championship win on that day, and the kickoff is scheduled for 5 o'clock. On October 9th, the Buffs go to Columbia to play Mizzou. On the 16th, we're back at Folsom for family weekend, and we play the Baylor Bears. The 23rd of October is homecoming, with Texas Tech coming into town. October 30th, a trip to Oklahoma to play the Sooners. And the following week, on November 6th, we are on the road again at Kansas. November 13th brings us home again for Veterans Day for Iowa State. And our senior day is November 20th against Kansas State. And of course, the final game that everybody's looking forward to, the last conference game against Nebraska, the day after Thanksgiving on the 26th of November. That game is currently slated for a 1:30 start. And that's our look this week at what's going on the field. Now it's time for CU Uncensored. This is our chance to talk about something that has been happening with CU football and give you a totally biased opinion on the subject. I will be again joined by Stuart, the author of the CUAtTheGame.com blog. So what should we talk about? Gee, I don't know. Did you hear? CU made a huge move in June and almost brought down the entire Big 12 conference with it. So just in case you've been spending all your time climbing the Flatirons these last 4 months, it was announced June 1st that CU would be joining the Pac-10 conference. If you don't know how it went down, here are the cliff notes. CU was rumored to have been invited to join the Pac-10. Nebraska was rumored to have been invited to join the Big Ten. The Pac-10 was trying to make it a 16 total by adding most of the Big 12 South, with the exception of Baylor. This made the Texas legislature go wild, and there were rumors that they would do something legislatively to keep the other teams from leaving for the Pac-10 without Baylor, saying that Colorado should be the team that's left out. Then Texas decided they wanted their own TV network and wanted to keep more revenue for themselves. This made the Pac-10 flinch, and Beebe, the Big 12 commissioner, swooped in with a sweetheart deal to keep the Big 12 alive. Rumor is that Texas, Oklahoma, and A&M were offered a larger share of the pot to stick around, and that Texas could have their own TV network and keep all of the revenues from that. So CU chose the Pac-10 and announced that they would be entering in the 2012 season. Nebraska chose the Big Ten and announced they would be entering in the 2011 season. So now Nebraska is in the Big Ten with a total of 12 teams, and they're working on a championship game. The first one, which is going to be held at the stadium in Indianapolis. CU is now in the Pac-10, soon to officially be renamed the Pac-12, with 12 teams. Utah joined as soon as Texas said no. And they're working on a championship game. And the Big 12 now only has 10 teams. And according to NCAA rules, they cannot have a championship game. So that's where we are now. Let's start with Stuart. Stuart, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you very much.
So Stuart, what are your general observations about the conference realignment, and what do you think this does for the CU program?
Well, I think it'll be great for the Colorado Buffaloes. The Pac-10, Pac-12 is definitely a good fit. in terms of academics, in terms of size of school, in terms of academic budgets or athletic budgets. CU should have gone there in 94, but I'm very glad that they finally made the move and are going to be part of the Pac-12, in all likelihood, starting in 2011.
So, Stuart, do you think CU can be competitive, or will they just be dominated by teams like USC and Washington, just like they are now with Texas and Oklahoma?
Well, you know, Oregon has the Nike money, and USC is UCLA. USC is USC. But in terms of, you know, ups and downs, Washington has about the same enrollment, same size school, same size stadium, same with Oregon, Oregon State, Washington State, the Arizona schools, Utah. Certainly the, you know, right now is not the best time for Colorado to be joining the Pac-12 in terms of talent on the field, but I think in the long term, CU can be very competitive with anybody in the new Pac-12.
I agree. And I think this will also give them a step up in Southern California recruiting, which is an area of the country where they have not recruited well in the past.
Yes, and that's, of course, you know, when we're talking about divisions, we'll get to that. That's the biggest issue right now, is how many times everybody's going to get to play in Southern California and get to play in front of all those recruits.
Absolutely. And now that we have all this movement, with people going to the Pac-10 and the Big Ten, I'd like your opinion on the Big 12, or what I'm starting to call the Texas and Oklahoma League. Do you think that this league can survive with just 10 teams, especially when Texas and Oklahoma are going to be the only contenders each year for the championship?
Ultimately, no. It may be 4 to 6 years, unless Notre Dame makes a move before then to the Big Ten. But ultimately, I don't see the Big 12 surviving as a conference. It's looking more and more like the old Southwest Conference, which was basically all Texas schools in Arkansas, and it folded because it wasn't a national conference. And more, it's looking like the Big 12 is going to be a Texas conference. And the other schools gave in to Texas, gave them a lot of money so that they could have a conference, BCS conference, to belong to. But ultimately, that's not going to work for them. They're going to get tired of getting beat up. The networks are going to get tired of showing those games. And the Big 12 will splinter off into different leagues.
So do you think that ultimately the Big 12 is really going to be getting the big TV contracts that Commissioner Beebe said that they were going to be getting, since they only have 10 teams?
Well, I think it's interesting that, you know, at the Big 12 media days, just here back at the end of July, Beebe was quoted as saying that there were no guarantees as far as extra money to Texas A&M, and Oklahoma. The very next day, the Texas A&M president came out with a statement saying, you bet there was guarantees, and we are going to get those $20 million. And then Beebe had to come back and say, well, we're still working out the details, but, you know, yes, we definitely think all the schools are going to make more money. So he's promising more money to Texas A&M, and Oklahoma based on contracts that don't exist yet. So without a conference championship game, it's only a matter of time. It's just like Notre Dame. If you have a consistent losing product, you're going to lose viewership. You're going to lose dollars. You're going to lose revenue dollars, and the network's not going to give you as much money next time around.
Talking about money, that makes things really interesting with Nebraska, CU, and Utah making changes. You know, Nebraska said they were going to be leaving the Big 12 at the end of this year, and they're willing to pay those extra fines. CU's not willing to pay the extra fines, and so they don't want to leave the conference for two more years. Now, the rest of the Big 12 really doesn't want to have to deal with CU still being there and have 1 year of 11 teams. Both teams say they're in, quote, negotiations, but the belief is that CU will be able to move into the Pac-12 in 2011. Another problem is that, though not widely reported, Utah has agreed not to take any revenue for the first year. I don't think CU can afford to do that. But Pac-10 Commissioner Larry Scott said that CU would get TV revenue if they moved a year early, because CU was, quote, handled differently, end quote. Scott also said, though, that they don't plan on CU joining until 2012, but that they would welcome them in if they did. So what do you think is going to happen with CU, and when are they going to ultimately move into the new Pac-12?
I do not see a scenario where Colorado will be a member of the Big 12 in 2011. I think it's a done deal. Yes, there's many dollars that have to change hands, but with Utah not having a penalty to leave the Mountain West Conference, they're going to be in the Pac-12 next year. Nebraska's already set up to be in the Big 10 next year. There's no logical reason or economic reason for Colorado to play in the Big 12. So we're done. And I think the announcement this week that Colorado is negotiating to play Ohio State next year at Columbus in a one-game deal where we get paid $2 million, I think if you read between the lines, you're talking about CU trying to figure out a way to pay some sort of the penalty slash buyout of the Big 12. And one way to do that is to get a big payday, and Ohio State's going to write the check. CU will be in the Pac-12 in 2011. You can write that down. Don't worry about it.
So now we come to the dilemma on how the new Big 12 is going to split out. There's really two schools of thought on this. Some people want to see a geographic division, such as North-South. For example, putting Colorado, Utah, the Arizonas, and Southern California in one group in the South, and the Northern California and the Pacific Northwest schools in the North. The problem is that the Northern California and the Pacific Northwest schools don't like the fact that they won't get their annual trip to Southern California. The other option that's being discussed, and getting a lot of talk, is what's called the zipper option. What they would do is they would split standard rivalries, like USC and UCLA, into separate divisions. Then, each of those rivalries would have a guaranteed rivalry game against their rival each year. This would allow, for most of the times, a school to travel to Southern California to play a game, because they would have at least one Southern California person in their division, and they could have a Southern California person that they play against in an opposite division. When asked about it, Pac-10 Commissioner Larry Scott said that, quote, geographic divisions are pretty easy to understand and follow the narrative of the season, but that he will make his recommendations to the league presidents in October. So, Stuart, how do you think they should split this out?
Well, I think there was a lot of talk when CU first accepted invitation to the Pac-12. Mike Bone was quoted as saying that Colorado had been promised the Southern Division, as you mentioned, the Southern California schools, Arizona schools, and Utah and Colorado. I don't see that happening. There's been too much negative statements coming out of the Northern California schools saying they have to play in Southern California every year. And the Northwest schools want to play in Southern California every year. If there's a Southern Division, that's going to be every other year for those teams. So some form of the zipper is likely to get approved in October by the Pac-12 presidents and athletic directors.
Another problem we run into with the zipper format is the fact that you could have two teams like USC and UCLA play each other in the rivalry game at the end of the year, and then play each other the very next week or so in the Pac-12 championship. That is certainly not desirable for either television or for the athletic departments. How do you see getting around something like that?
Well, there's one variation of the zipper which I can definitely see happening. You mentioned that we'd split off, all the rival schools would be in different divisions. But one variation of that would be, we call it the California zipper, where only the California schools would be split off. So you'd have a division with the Washington schools and the Oregon schools. You'd have a division with the Arizona schools, Colorado, and Utah. Each one of those divisions would get a Northern California school and a Southern California school. Now, what would happen then, each team in California would have a division rival. So let's say Cal and USC were in the same division. They would play each other every year. They would have their rivalry game. Cal would play Stanford. UCLA would play USC. And then you'd have an additional game where the non-division rival in your state would also be played. So Washington would still have Washington State plus both Oregon schools. The Arizona schools would play each other plus Colorado and Utah. And the four California schools would all end up playing each other every year. So the non-California schools would end up with three games out of every 4 years in Southern California. The California schools, Cal and Stanford, would get to go to Southern California every year. And I think that would eliminate the Northern California schools' complaint that they want to go to Southern California every year, and also eliminates the one issue that had come up that Washington or Oregon want to play each other every year. And if they'd been split off, they wouldn't be doing that. If you regionalized the zipper, those issues would be eliminated. Everyone outside of Cal and Stanford would still get three games out of every four seasons in Southern California. I think that's the best split, which leaves Colorado playing in a division with Utah, Arizona, Arizona State, one of the Southern California schools, one of the Northern California schools.
So do you think the other schools, specifically the Northern Pacific schools, will buy into this kind of zipper?
Well, I think so, because in the California zipper, that they would still get, just like the Colorado, Utah, Arizona schools, they would still get three games out of every 4 years in Southern California. So Washington would, for instance, we get to play both Oregon schools, Washington State. They'd have Cal and, say, UCLA in their division. So every other year they're playing in L.A. to play UCLA. USC would be one of the four schools not in their zipper. And so every other year, you know, just like we're playing with Oklahoma or Texas now, you know, you do home and home, off and off, home and home, off and off. So that would mean every fourth year, every out of every 4 years, you're going to play one game against USC in LA. So that would mean three games out of every 4 years, you would end up playing a game in Los Angeles. And unless, you know, you're going to give USC and UCLA nothing but home games, the only way you're going to, you know, be able to have a division set up is to, you know, not let everyone play in Southern California every year. That's just, the math doesn't work.
Well, I think this California zipper formula does have a lot of merit to it. It's certainly going to give the Pac-12 presidents a lot to talk about in October, isn't it?
Very much so. It'll be fun to watch.
Well, Stuart, this has been very interesting. I'd like to remind everybody that you can read Stuart's insights on a daily basis at his See You at the Game blog at seeyouatthegame.com. Stuart, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your insights.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Now it's time to tell you about our first Totally Biased Buffaloes podcast listener contest. This is a two-part contest for the 2010 season. First, we will be asking you each week to tell us who you think will win that week's game. All correct weekly answers will be entered into a drawing for our weekly prize. In addition, each correct prediction will also be entered into the grand prize drawing to be held the weekend after the CU Nebraska game. This is how it works. Send us an email each week at totallybiasedbuffaloes@gmail.com. telling us who you think will win the next week's game. You must send the email to us before 11:59 p.m. Boulder time, the Friday before the game. Please put contest in the subject line. We are already accepting your predictions for the CSU game, so get your predictions in. Each week, we will announce the winner on our podcast, and the winner will have 1 week to contact us, or that week's prize will be added to the grand prize at the end of the season. Just a few technical things. You must be at least 18 years of age. You must be a resident of the 50 United States. There is only one entry per person per week. In your email with your guests, you must include your full name, email address, and contact phone number. We are not responsible for any lost or misdirected emails. Good luck. We would love to hear your predictions. Thank you for listening to the premiere episode of the Totally Biased Buffaloes podcast. Next week, we will be looking at the continuing saga of Fall Camp. And Stuart and I will be breaking down the 2010 season and making our own bold predictions. We will also have a new segment, hopefully, called See You Unplugged, where we will answer listeners' emails and voicemails. So please contact us at 720-525-2008 or email us at totallybiasedbuffaloes@gmail.com. I would like to say thank you again to Stuart from seeyouatthegame.com blog. Please stop by and check out Stuart's insights on CU football. Also thank you to our sponsor for this podcast, Office Pride Commercial Cleaning Services. Office Pride can handle all of your commercial cleaning needs in the South Denver metro area, and the owners are both proud CU alum. Give them a call at 303-719-3320 today. We would love to hear from you. If you would like to let us know what you thought of our podcast, or have any ideas for future episodes, please give us a call at 720-525-2008 or email us at totallybiasedbuffaloes@gmail.com. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/totallybiasedbuffaloes. Thank you so much for listening this week. We look forward to hearing from you. And go Buffs!